ಓಂ ಮಕಂದಂ ಸಚ್ಚಿರಾನಂದಂ ಅವಾಂ ಮನಸಗೋಚರಂ ಆತ್ಮಾನಂ ಅಖಿಲಾಧಾರಂ ಆಶ್ರಯೇ ಭೀಷ್ಟ ಸಿದ್ಧಯೇ ಅರ್ಥಕೋಭ್ಯದ್ವಯಾನಂದಾನ್ ಅಥೇತದ್ವೈತ ಭಾನತಃ ಗುರುನಾರಾಜ್ಯ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸಾರಂ ವಕ್ಷೇ ಯಥಾಮತಿ.
As told you before, I think Swamiji chants these verses periodically within the context of an unfoldment that he's doing, so might be, just note that. Sometimes you'll hear these verses and you'll wonder, oh, where did these verses come from? I don't remember. Okay, we're on verse 24, right?
24.
Guru?
No, I thought you were 13.
What are we supposed
24.
To do?
Verse 24. Were you here last week?
No, she was only half the class last week.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's what it was. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's on this in this book, page 13, verse 24.
But what about this book now?
Page 24 in this. Oh.
What are you going to do?
Just keep this book available, because there's some verses in here that I want to do that are in the footnotes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Guru Padishta.
Guru Padishta.
Vedanta Vakyeshu.
Vedanta Vakyeshu.
Vishwasaha.
Vishwasaha.
Shraddha.
Shraddha.
Guru Upadishta. Vedanta Vakyeshu. Vishwasaha. Shraddha. Everybody see it? Guru Upadishta Vedanta Vakyeshu Vishwasaha Shraddha. Okay, let me just reorientate you to where we are. We're doing the Sadhana Chatushtaya. We've been through Viveka and Vairagya. And then we're on the Samadhi Shatka. We've done Shama, Dhamma, Vipadaki, Titiksha. Now we're doing Shraddha. Okay, that's where we are. We have Shraddha Samadhan left to do. Oh, I guess we did Samadhanam. We did Samadhanam. And so we have Shraddha left to do, which is what we're going to do right now. Shraddha. Page number 24 of it. So, Guru Upadishta Vedanta Vakya Eshu. Vakya Eshu. Locative plural. Vishwasaha. Vishwasaha means faith. So, Shraddha. Shraddha is Vishwasaha, faith. We'll talk about what that means in a minute, you know, because it's not Christian faith. So we have to look at the meaning of the word faith. Faith. Vishwasaha, faith, in the Vedanta Vakyas, the statements of the Vedanta, means the Vedanta Vakyas are the Upanishads, Brahma Sutras, Bhagavad Gita. Okay. But mainly when you say the Vedanta Vakyas, we're talking about the Upanishads. That is the Shruti. If we're looking at the Brahma Sutras, they are an analysis of the Shruti. So everything in the Vedanta goes back to the Shruti. The Bhagavad Gita is considered Shruti because it's totally in line, it's actually Krishna's teaching, so it's totally in line with the Shruti, which is the revealed knowledge of the Vedas. The Brahma Sutras are an analysis. It's considered Smriti because they're man-made. The Vedas are aparushayam. Not man-made, Shruti, that which is heard, means it's revealed knowledge. So the Vedanta Vakyas are really the Upanishad Vakyas, okay? So, Vishwasa, in the Vedanta Vakyas, Upadishta, which are taught by the Guru, by the teacher. This is very important. When we talk about Shraddha, it's not enough to have Shraddha just in the Upanishads. For this Pramana, for the Pramana to work, you have to have Shraddha in the Upanishads and in the teacher who's teaching them. Because the Upanishads are meant to be taught. Okay? They're meant to be taught by the guru, by the teacher. And so say you have Shraddha in the Upanishads, but you're listening to a teacher who you don't have Shraddha in. Your mind won't be open to receive that pramana. Right? So the Shraddha is toward the guru who is teaching the Shastra, the Shruti.
So what is the difference between Upadishta and Upadesha?
Upadesha is past passive participle of Upadish. Upadesha is like Bud, Boda, Upadish, Upadesha. Mm. It's a nominative, makes it into a noun. Okay. Upadesha is the noun, upadishta, past passive participle.
Of upadish.
Mm-hmm. Of upadish, which means to teach. Okay. So, vishwasa, faith in the Vedanta Vakyas, which are taught by the guru, by the teacher. So, the thing is here, it's important. You could have shraddha in a guru, a teacher. That's where your shraddha is. Then you could have shraddha in the Vedas, in the Upanishads. So here's your shraddha for a teacher. Here's your shraddha for the shruti. But in order for the pramana to work, these two have to come together, right? You can have one who's not teaching, guru who's not teaching. You could have the Vedanta that is being taught by somebody who you don't have shraddha in. Then there's not going to be a mind that is receptive, because actually the mind of the teacher, it's like the ego. The ahankara of the teacher and the student have to disappear when this knowledge is taking place. Both ahankaras are gone, so that all that's taking place is that knowledge. But when the shraddha is not there, there's some sort of bad feeling or anything like that, then the ahankara is there. There's somebody who's watching rather than being. See what I mean? That's why, you know, when we do the sahana of the two, that's why that chant is so important. We always say that, because we don't want there to be any ahankara there, in a sense. Nothing to separate the teacher and student. We just want this vision to be taking place so it can be seen. And then once that vision is seen, any amount of manana, you know, can be done. But how can it be done? How can there be any manana on something which isn't seen? You know? So that's the idea. That's why I considered that shraddha. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, there's a famous verse Swamiji quotes all the time, shraddha van labhate jnanam. Right? The one who has shraddha gains knowledge. That's how big it is. Shraddha van labhate jnanam. Shraddha van, the one who has shraddha, labhate, gains knowledge. So you can understand why.
Well, also it's not something you can strive for, right? I mean, it's there, but there's limited amount that you can do to say, I have shraddha.
No, there's not much you can do. You can. That's why they say it's shraddha is Ishwara Anugraha, the grace of God. You can't say, you know, let me believe in this.
So you
there's some punya.
Yeah.
You can't force yourself. I mean,
if you're forcing yourself, that means there's some thread, shred of shraddha there, or there'd be no one there to force yourself. You know, like say if you're in a class and you just are feeling, no way. What are you going to force yourself for? It's already.
But
there's no shraddha. Shraddha definitely can grow, but you have to have some shraddha there. So
if you have an agitated mind and you don't have shraddha, then you can still have growth.
Definitely.
Grow back into it.
Yeah, but say you have an agitated mind, and you don't say, for instance, you're agitated, there's a lot of things happening in your life, there's a lot of things pulling you in this direction or that direction, and you don't feel like doing shravana at all. That has nothing to do with shraddha. Mm. That has something to do with whatever you're going through in your life. There's just things happening. Mm. You get pulled away in this direction or that direction. But that's not a statement on shraddha. Shraddha is whether something inside you, that just something that gives you the sense that this is true and I want to know. It's truth, this is true, is a belief, because you don't know yet. Right? So it's a belief pending understanding. It's a belief that resolves into knowledge. Right? So it's a faith. So Swamiji say like this, shraddha is a faith pending understanding. It's not a faith that when I die and go to heaven, I'll find out whether it's true or not. That's a Christian faith. This is faith pending understanding. So what that means is, that's why we call it Ishwara Nigraha, the grace of God. Somehow, You sense, this is the truth and I want to know. You sense, this person knows I have Shraddha. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
This door's not open enough.
You can see that.
Okay, so you have this, you have faith pending understanding, and you say that because you don't have this knowledge yet when you start out, but there's something inside that says, no, this is it, this is what I want to know. In terms of the teacher, there's something, this is my teacher, this is who I want to learn from. You don't know that teacher knows until you know. How can you know? And that's why it's considered all punya, it's all grace of God to come to a teacher who really does know, and to come to the Upanishads, which are a means of knowledge, that's considered tremendous punya, because there's no way for you to know that Upanishad will liberate you, or that the teacher is for real and can take you to that knowledge. How can you know? So that's considered Shraddha, and it's considered punya. Great punya, Ishwar grace of God, that you have that for a proper teacher and for a proper means of knowledge. So Shraddha is a big thing, and it's not something you can create. However, just like all of the other in the sadhana chaturshtya, viveka, vairagya, remember this viveka is nitya, anitya vastu viveka. What that means, a person is able to discriminate, the mumukshu is able to discriminate between the real and the unreal. Well, actually, they can't discriminate the real, that which is nitya, that which is timeless. They can't discriminate that. They don't know that. They can, the anitya, they can say, everything here is subject to change. The jnani, both the nitya and anitya, the timeless and the time-bound, are discriminated, right? So here, with Shraddha, that Shraddha resolves into knowledge. First, it's a faith, and that faith continues to, in a sense, continues to grow and grow and grow and grow as it converts itself from faith, pending understanding, into understanding. And so you can feel, oh, my Shraddha continues to grow and to grow. Well, actually, what's happening is your Shraddha is being converted into knowledge. You know? You see what I mean? And so, in the end, Shraddha is knowledge. In the end, for the jnani. So the jnani has perfect Shraddha. You don't have to work for that Shraddha. You don't, there's no doubt, because you have the jnanam. So,
that was beautiful.
Yeah. So it's a big, so, repeat after me. Guru Upadishta.
Guru Upadishta
Vedanta Vakyeshu
Vedanta Vakyeshu
Vishwasaha
Vishwasaha
Shraddha
Shraddha.
The Swamiji is saying some beautiful, I always love it when he talks about Shraddha. Let's do 25. Mumukshitvam
Mumukshitvam
Moksha Icha
Moksha Icha
Mumukshitvam Moksha Icha. Actually, I think it's moksha icha, sorry. Mumukshitvam moksha icha. That's a compound, would be moksha icha, if I were to break the compound, the desire for liberation. Mumukshitvam. This mumukshu, the state, the twam is the state of desiring liberation. Mumukshu, the form is like a, mumukshu means one who desires liberation is a mumukshu. It's a desiderative. Means the a desiderative form has that reduplication, mumu, see the mumu, and then there's a sha or sa ending on it, so mumuksha, and then mumuksha is the desire for liberation. Mumukshu is one who desires liberation. Mumukshu twam is the state, the condition of being one who desires for liberation. So here they just say mumukshu twam is moksha icha, the desire for liberation. And of course, it's the last one. That desire for liberation requires initially viveka. That's why when we do the sadhana chaturshtya, it goes viveka vairagya, right? Viveka vairagya samadhi shakta in the mukshutvam. sometimes vairagya is stated first, even though it's dependent on the viveka, because vairagya, some texts will do it this way, and they'll explain why they're doing it. Vairagya is necessary for knowledge to take place. You know, without any vairagya, then there's not even mumukshutvam. But the viveka, without the viveka, you can't come to vairagya. If you don't have viveka, how can you recognize that there's no possibility of attaining any type of anything lasting in this creation? Without recognizing that, you won't go to the next thing of vairagya.
You know, I'm always surprised when young people have
vairagya.
Yeah, because it must be a gift. Because I mean, it seems to me that for us average people, you have to try a few things and fail to understand that it doesn't work. You know.
Exactly, and they talk about that. That it's because of your prior samskaras that you've already been through that in your last life, and so you're picking up the thread at a young age, just like in the Bhagavad Gita, these verses that we recently did, you know, where it analyzes what happens to the person who dies without having gained nishta. They take another birth and pick up the thread at sometimes an early age. So if a person... Who's there?
Oh,
hi,
Mike.
Oh, hi, Mike.
Oh.
It's a cat burglar.
Somebody's come to my TV.
Oh, I saw it was a baseball.
No, I thought it was a pixie came in with the computer.
Somebody called me. I was at work last Tuesday. I was in my office, and it happened just during a break. And so they called me on my cell phone, and I answered the phone. They said, "Is this Tibby's mother?" Hi, Archie. South Pat. Oh, okay. Hey, hi. You gonna stay? Oh, great. You can go get on the computer, too, if you get bored with it. So anyway, this man says, "Is this Timmy's mother?" And I said,
"Uh-oh."
I said, "Yes. Yes, it is." And he said, "Well," he goes, "Tibby was over at our house this morning."
That's
a cat friend. Yeah. There's a house right down here. So Tibby was over at our house this morning. And she wanted to eat some food with my other cat. This family's got two cats right over here, diving over the fence. Two cats, and also there's another feral cat who comes over here, too. And he said, "You know, Tibby wanted to have some breakfast with our cats." And I went to look at her tag, you know, because she has, you know, she wrote tag with her name tag. And when I went to touch her tag, she broke away and left me holding the collar. And, you know, and so I thought, oh, yes, because Tibby had come right, she'd come home without her collar. This isn't now, this is like the third collar we've lost.
Oh, my God.
So she comes home without her collar, and I think, oh, my gosh, she's lost her collar again. So when he was telling me about this, I said, oh, that's what happened with her collar. And I said, I just put another, she comes back, I have another collar ready. So I put a new collar on, and then she goes out again. But, so anyway, I told him where to put the collar and everything. She put it through the cat door, and I said, "You know, I don't want you to feed Tibby, because I don't want her eating other places." And he says, "Oh, I know, no, we don't feed her." And then he says, "We can't afford to feed her. We've got so many cats of our own."
Is this Tibby's mom?
So then we had cat talks for a while. And Tibby knows when she doesn't have her collar, she knows she's supposed to have her collar.
Yeah.
She loves to sit at the door. When I let her out in the morning, she sits and waits for a collar. And girl. Okay. I don't remember why I shared that story with you.
Wait a minute. Now, where were we now?
Mumukshu from Moksha Icha. Okay, now we're going to do the next one.
Well, wait, did we finish that
one? Yeah, I was saying Viveka Vairagya. I said,
okay.
We're fine with it.
Okay.
Evam Bhutaha
Pramata
Adhikari
Shanto Danta
Ityadi Shrutehe You need to do that sentence first. Evam bhutaha pramata adhikari shantaha dantaha iti adi shrutehe. Evam bhutaha pramata, nominative singular. The pramata means the knower. We're talking, pramata means the knower, the jiva that we're talking about here. The pramata, literally from pramatra, and it means the knower. The knower now is going to be the jiva, okay? Evam bhutaha means whose nature is in this way. So in English, evam means in this manner, bhutaha means whose nature, the one who is like this, literally. Evam bhutaha pramataha, pramata. The pramata who is like this, who is in this manner, such a pramata, okay, such a jiva, referring to all of these sadhana chatushtha that we've gone through and everything. So such a jiva, the jiva who is evam in this manner, evam bhutaha pramata, is an adhikari. Pramata adhikari, nominative, nominative. Mm-hmm. So such a pramata is an adhikari. Shantaha dantaha. These are the first two lines from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.4.23. He says, he's just backing it up with a Shruti statement. He says, from the Shruti, Shrutehe, fifth case, from such Shrutis as Shantaha, Dantaha. Shantaha is Shama, Dantaha is Dhamma. The one who has Shanta, the one who has Dhamma. The one who has, whose mind is under control, the one whose organs of action are under control. Okay. Go if you've got this Vedanta Sara, can you go to page 14? I want to read you the whole Shruti from the Shant and translate it Shanto Danta. You can also look it up in the Brihadaranyaka if you have one. But you have this here?
Yeah,
okay, go to page 14. Go to the note number 2, okay?
Yeah.
The Shruti is cited as a scriptural evidence of Shema, etc., being considered as prerequisites of knowledge. That's why this passage, Shanto Danta, is being quoted. The complete passage is, this is what I want to translate for you, Tasmat evamvit, Tasmat evamvit, Shantaha Dantaha Uparatihi, Uparataha, sorry. Uparataha, same as Uparati, Uparataha Titikshuhu Samahitaha Bhutwa Atmani Eva Atmanam Pashati. This is the Shruti from the Brihadaranyaka, and it's this Shruti that has this sadhana chatushtha, this Samadhi Shatka. They're actually listed in this Brihadaranyaka Shruti. So it says, Tasmat, therefore, this is just for the part of the Shruti that's, Evam vit, the one who is like this, it's the same as evam bhutaha, evam vit, the one who is in this manner, shantaha is the same as shama, the one who has their mind in control, dantaha, the one who has dhamma, so shantaha is the same as shama, dantaha, dhamma, Uparataha is the same as Uparati, either sannyasa or being able to live a life that is not that of a dilettante, but a life that is committed to moksha, is Uparataha. Titikshuhu, the one who is able to accommodate the pairs of opposites. Samahitaha is Samadhan. Mm-hmm. So here he doesn't have Shuddha here, but he has all of the others. Shanta, Danta, Uparataha, Titikshuhu, Samahitaha, Bhutwa, having become one who is, has Shama, has Dhamma, has Uparati, has Titiksha, has Samadhanam, is one who has all of these. Bhutwa, having become, past passive participle, indeclinable past participle. Atmani, in the self, Eva, alone. Atmanam, self, accusative singular. Pashati, he sees the self in the self. Alone. He sees the self in the self alone. It means that Adyasa is no longer there. When you say aham, the self, yourself, Where does it land? Does it land in the Atma, or does it land on the body or the mind or the sense organs? So that one who sees means vijnanam, aparoksha jnanam, as opposed to having like an indirect knowledge. The one who has aparoksha jnanam means he recognizes the Atma in the Atma. Not, no adhyasa. Who does? He, having become one who has these qualities, shanta, danta, upadata, okay? So that's the Shruti verse. I like this this because he has good notes in terms of referring to some of these verses. So that's why I want to go through those. And if you're interested, I would look the verses up if you have a breath or you can. And look them up and read Shankar's commentary on those verses if you're interested.
Where does this come from?
It comes from the Brihadaranyaka. Just gives two lines, and that's why this commentator gives a little bit more. Okay? So the pramata, who's like such a pramata, is an adhikari. From such Shruti statements as Shanta Hadanka from the Brihadaranyaka. Uktam cha. Okay, now we're back on the verse, bottom of page 13.
What exactly does Shruti mean? Is it to be heard, hearing?
That which is heard, the Shruti, and it refers to that which is actually the pramana, which would be the Upanishads. Okay, refers to the Vedas. Only the Shruti is the Vedas, and nothing else. Everything else is Smriti. Right? When we say that the Bhagavad Gita it's honored as a Shruti. It's not a Shruti because it's taught by Krishna, but because Krishna is the Lord, we honor it as a Shruti, but it's actually Smriti. What is the Shruti is what has been directly revealed in the form of the Vedas. Okay? So Uptam cha, and it is said. Uptam cha is Uptam cha, and it is said. You can chant this. This is from Upadesha Sahasri. Prashanta chittaya jatindriyaya cha. Prashanta chittaya jatindriyaya cha. Prahina doshaya yathokta karine. Prahina doshaya yathokta karine. Gunanditayanugataya sarvada. Gunanditayanugataya sarvada. Pradeyametat satatam mamukshave. Pradeyame tat satatam mamukshave iti upadesha sahasri. So, prashanta chittaya jitta indriyaya cha prahina doshaya yatha upta karine guna anditaya. Guna anditaya anugataya sarvada pradeyam etat satatam mumukshave iti upadesha sahasri. Okay, so now this is a smriti. He gave the shruti from the Brihadaranyaka. Now this is a smriti. The upadesha sahasri is actually, it's like 1,000 teachings. And it are all in little short chapters, except for that first prose section that Swamiji's been teaching. And, you know, the others are, for the most part, the last chapter is very long. But for the most part, they're very short chapters. Maybe some, like, 5 verses or 10 verses or 20 verses. Beautiful. It'd be beautiful to teach the whole thing sometime. It's all Shankar. It's really nice. So, Prashanta Chittaya. Fourth case, Veda. Mm-hmm. For the one whose mind, whose chitta, is prashanta, quiet. Means the mind has become shanti, the chitta, the mind. The one whose mind is bahuvahi, the one whose mind has become prashanta, peaceful.
Is
Aya is the fifth case.
Fourth case.
Bahuvahi, the compound which you haven't learned yet, is. Internally, a bahuvrihi compound can be any type of compound. But what makes it a bahuvrihi is that it becomes an appellation, a name for a person. Mm-hmm. So a person who's a prashanta chitta is one whose mind has shanti. Or it could be one from whom fear has gone. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. The relationship to the person can be, in any case, the one for whom, the one because of whom, the one by whom, the one in whom. Mm-hmm. That's going to be denoted by the vigraha, or the way you break the compound. Mm-hmm. So what you have to know is, say, it's not for the peaceful mind. That would just be a regular compound. Okay. It's for the one who has a peaceful mind. That makes it a bahuvrihi. Okay. So prashanta chittaya, for the one whose mind is peaceful. Jitta indriyaya, for the one whose indriyas are conquered, right? So shama dhamma. Prashanta chittaya is the shama, and then jitta indriyaya is the dhamma. Okay? The one whose mind is peaceful, under control. The one whose organs of action, indriyas, you know, are under control. Prashanta chittaya jitta indriyaya cha, so am, these two. And then what else? Brahina doshaya. The one whose doshas are defects, means the negative qualities that aren't conducive to knowledge. The one whose doshas have prahina, they've ceased, they've disappeared, they've vanished. You've gotten rid of them through your sadhana. One for whom the doshas, like kama, krodha, especially, you know, anger, desire, all of the different reactions that come off of that. The one for whose doshas have gone, disappeared.
Yeah, I'm sorry, and which was disappeared?
Prahina.
Okay.
Means vanished, disappeared, they've ceased. They've come to an end. Like you no longer are held by desire, or you're no longer subject to rage and all these kind of things that take you away from yourself. Okay. Prahina dosha, doshaya. So another data singular.
Mm-hmm.
Then, yatokta karine. This is interesting. A karin is a doer. One who does what is told. Yata uta. One who does as they're told. Obedient. One who does as they're told.
What's that mean?
I'm not going to tell you.
Just do as you're told.
I always have a trouble with that quality.
But you know, the other side of that, to understand, when you do as you're told, this is, you know, Swamiji's talked about this, but the teacher isn't somebody who should be telling you what to do in terms of really giving advice. The teacher has to be really careful about that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about advice giving. If you have a teacher saying you do this and you do that, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's about, you know, explaining certain sadhanas that would be good for you, you know, then to be able to, for you to actually do those, like say a sadhana is explained, you understand it, then to be able to do that type of thing. So you have to be careful, this doing as you're told. People sometimes want the teacher to plan out their life for them. It's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And a wise teacher won't do that. It's not right either. It's not a right thing. It can be really, you know, get everybody into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And Swamiji once said, you know, because of course with him, everybody's asking, you know, what should I do with my life? What should I do? What should I do? Of course, and he's a Mahatma, and he has a vision also. And he used to be a little bit more forthcoming in what he thought would be best, that type of thing. But he learned over time. Be very careful about that, giving that kind of advice. Because also, with your guru, you'll take their words as satyam, you know? And so if the teacher says this, you do this, then they'll go say they don't want to do that. Or they don't have a relationship with the teacher to know the relative nature in which the teacher would mean that, rather than as a mandate. Then they'll go through all types of guilt and worry and conflict. So You know, so Swamiji said, you know, don't give any advice. I never give any advice anymore. I don't give advice. Yeah, I think he still does. but he tries to do it in a way, the way that it's meant. With, you know, and only to, if a student can understand the relative nature of the advice. That's another thing. In some places, Swamiji's talked in the Shruti, the Prakarana Granth, I can't remember where, talk about the difference between being an authority in, I forget the right word to use, in terms of knowledge and the unfoldment of a pramana, where you actually do know, right? And so what you're saying, as you're saying, that does need to be understood as it's being said. And the student can question, well, what do you mean by this, and what do you mean by that, and why do you say it in this way? That's all manana. That's all, so you're supposed to do that. But in the end, that shraddha has to be there, that the teacher knows, and they're trying to make you see, you know? So that's different. Now what if you take that over to the relative world? The teacher knows they're trying to make you see. So they say, you do this, and you say, oh, the teacher knows, you know, this is what I should do. They're trying to make me see. They know I don't know. So you take the same. Mm-hmm. That's the mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, and so when you're talking with your teacher in this relative realm, the teacher is not omniscient to know what your prarabdha is, you know. It's they might share with you deeply what they feel. But it's negotiable. And that's a big thing to learn, because they superimpose this one, the pramana, onto this. That's a big problem. And Swamiji will tell me, when I always ask Swamiji, what should I do about this, and what about that, and what about that? But then what if he says, I think you should do this, and I'll say, no. I don't think so. And he'll say, well, why not? Okay. We discuss. It's for discussion. And I have so much respect for him and his vision and what he might, how he might see things. That's very important to me, what he says. But he's not the pramana, you know. He's not the pramana in terms of what I should or shouldn't do. I ask him all of these because he's my mentor and I love him and I so respect what he has to say. But what if I don't agree? Then I'll immediately say, I don't think so, Swamiji. I don't think that would work. Why? Well, because, maybe. You know what I mean? That's what you have to understand.
Well, that doesn't occur during the pramana, when the pramana is working, right?
Pramana is totally different. Mm. The pramana is, that's a totally different relationship. There it's, I don't understand. Please make me see. Make me see what you are seeing. Make me know what you are knowing. A total shraddha. Not just I, but I mean, I'm talking generally. I want to see what you see. I want to see what you see. Because I have that shraddha that what he sees is what the Upanishads are. That
so
vision.
At that moment, the teacher disappears in a way. It's not his personal vision anymore.
It's not, yeah. And in fact, that's a good point. Swamiji has always said, even before we started the 3-year course, first one in India, he said, I want to teach these bhashas, Shankara bhasha. You know, so we did the Katto Bhasha Taittiriya and some other the Shankara Bhasha's word by word. So you can see that this isn't me. You will see everything that I say in the teaching is here. It's not something I'm like, it's not my vision. It's the Sampradaya. And that was so thrilling. Because even though we knew that, we had Shraddha. That shraddha converts into, I would always, as he was going through the bhashas, I was thinking, oh, there it is. 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 And so you see that he's just, you know, he's just a living embodiment of the sampradaya. It's so, not personal.
So that's sort of why you can say that the teacher disappears and the student disappears and it's just the pramana is there.
Well, when I was talking about that, is with the Shraddha is there when the unfoldment is taking place, because there's no animosity, distrust, or that type of thing, your mind's just available to receive that knowledge that is coming through the teacher. There's no block. When there's anger or animosity, you'll find the words are coming, but they're bouncing off the animosity or they're bouncing off the distrust. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's why when you have something going on with the teacher, you have to work it out, because your shravana is, you shouldn't even bother, in my own personal experience, you know. You shouldn't bother because nothing's happening. You have to take care of the hurt or whatever the problem is. It's very hard to listen because that person, that teacher, is just evoking the hurt because you're sitting right there in front of them and here's this person who has done this and that to you or caused this confusion or whatever. So that has to be taken care of. That's why we always have to work it out.
And then to also sort of the disappearance is also so that you see exactly what the teacher sees. Because the teacher isn't giving you concepts. The teacher is you should be seeing it, right?
What the teacher, you should be seeing what the teacher is seeing. Because as the pramana is being unveiled, that is aparoksha jnanam for the teacher. They're talking about what they see, what they know, the vision itself. And so that's happening in the mind of the teacher. If your mind is available, it'll be happening in your mind too. Except, so now, without apart from the Shraddha, except that for the teacher, there aren't any more doubts. Those are all cleared away. So it can happen for the student. I have plenty of experience with this. The vision is being unfolded, and in your mind, you know, it's like, yeah, but what about this? Yeah. And that would happen to me over and over again, and then I would just be on Swamiji's heels back to the satsang, so I could ask, but what about this and what about that? Because the vision can generate doubts. Sometimes as the vision is unfolding, a doubt comes, which is then immediately resolved by the next statements of the unfoldment. That happens too. But when that doesn't happen, then you're kind of left
dangling
to that doubt. And then that's why afterwards there's the satsang to try to resolve those. And that's how it goes. You know, everyone has their own sequence. You know, understand this and then understand this and then you have your own sequence of understanding, and sometimes the teacher isn't totally in line with that sequence, so you have to wait until it comes around and covers that particular doubt, and then goes on. Okay. So, gunan, so that's yatokta kadine, and how we got way off on that. Then, guna anditaya, fourth case again. For the one who has, andita means possesses or has, gunas. Gunas can mean, the word guna can mean both any attribute, good or bad quality can be a guna, but it also refers to just the good qualities. So here when you say guna anvitaya, the one who has gunas means those positive qualities. Guna anvitaya, anugataya. Anugataya means the one who follows, means the one who, in a way you can say the one who is submissive or the one, but not in a negative way, the one who follows the teacher. In other words, once you have a guru, you know, then you are in relationship to your teacher. You serve your teacher in a way. Service means the, in India it's very clear with the, that you're, that is your teacher. You go to the classes, you do what is to be done. You do what your duties are in the relationship. Say you're in a gurukula and you're living with the teacher. Then there's all kinds of things that you do on your part, and then that the teacher does on the teacher's part. What the teacher has to do is teach, and then meet with you and see you and do all of the various things that are required on the teacher's part. On your part, there's also a lot of things that are required in that guru-sisha relationship just to kind of run the household, keep things going. So the one who is follows the lead of the teacher in that way, does what is supposed to be done.
Is anugataya from gamgach? And then the anugataya
follows after.
And
then Now, that's good. So now we've got all of our datas. Mm. Now we have sarvada pradeyam etat. This etat, this pradeyam, should be given. Sarvada. This should always be given. Satatam mumukshave. Mumukshave is in the dative again for mumukshu. Like gurave, mumukshave.
Right.
This means this knowledge should sarvada pradeyam. Pradeyam is potential participle. This knowledge should always be given. Mumukshave satatam. To the one who is a mumukshu. Satatam mumukshave means always mumukshu. What they mean by that is you can be a mumukshu temporarily. They call it, instead of having vairagya, which is jignasa, vairagya, which is brought about by your desire to know, it can be what's called jihasa vairagya. It's a vairagya that's brought about by not getting your way. In other words, something's going wrong in your life. You don't have this and you don't have that, or this thing has fallen through, you know. And so you become kind of sour grapes vairagya. And so I just want to be free from all of this. I want liberation. But then when things start going well, oh, the vairagya, we'll take care of that. Oh, that can be later on.
Yeah,
fine.
Give me more.
So the satatam mumukshu, for the mumukshu who is a mumukshu, means not, it's not like just a rainy weather mumukshu.
Mm-hmm.
The one who is a mumukshu because of that desire to know, they have the viveka vairagya, etc. Right? So the one who is a mumukshu, period, that's the satatam, not temporary mumukshu.
You mean like true
satatam? Satatam means always, continually. Means it's not a fair weather, you know. In fair weather, they're not a mumukshu, in rainy weather, they are. So the one who is, so you could use it as emphasis, the one who is a mumukshu, they're not coming in and out of mumukshu. The one who is has the desire for liberation because they've recognized the problem, that's the idea. This knowledge should always, sarvada pradeyam, should always be given to that mumukshu who is prashanta chittaya, who has these qualities, whose mind, you know, has a certain amount of tranquility, whose sense organs are under control, whose defects are gone, who does what is to be done, what they're told to do, who has good qualities, you know, who can follow. To such a person, this knowledge should always be given. Now, if a person is a mumukshu but doesn't have these qualities, they might not be ready. They may be ready to be with the teacher, but there's a lot of other things that the teacher might guide them to do in terms of sadhana. So they talk about that type of thing. You know, like in the Upanishad, sometimes there'll be stories of the Indra or others coming to the teacher, but they want this and that and the other thing, so the teacher will have them do this and have them do that and then come back, and he'll kind of say, well, I'll see. No, I think you should go do this, go do that. Different kind of sadhanas.
So tiresome.
And then finally you say, okay. So those are kind of stories, you know, that are told. So here, the basic idea is this. This knowledge should always be given to the mumukshu, right, who has in adequate degree these qualities. If they have these qualities in absolute degree, they're jnani. But you can't have these qualities in absolute degree until you are free, you know, because otherwise it's not humanly possible, actually, when your ananda is naturally projected onto the world. So then you'll have these qualities in relative degree. These qualities become absolute once a person has knowledge. Okay?
Yeah, satatam is not being used adjectively to mumukshu.
It's adverbial. Yeah, but it does go to the mumukshu. One who is satatam mumukshu, a satatam mumukshu means always, continually.
Okay, because it's not in the same case as...
No, it's not adjectival.
No.
Well, was your mumukshu term like that?
We all are like that. You won't be here.
That's a compliment.
Should we do one more?
Okay. Oh, little girl. She wants to adore her.
She ran in one door 8 and ran out the other.
Yeah. She likes to have the door open for her. Do you not see this other door is open?
Yeah,
they
like to go out the way they
she
like to go.
And she also likes me to go out and sit out there with her and watch it. Does she think that's
yeah. Oh, yeah, they love it. They get so excited around the yard.
Mm-hmm. And just watch. She just likes to, you know, watch her run around and do this and that. She shows off all of her different things.
They show off like
that. They're kind of crazy with the rolls. And
it's like kids. Yeah.
Uh-oh. We're going to do one more.
Okay. What number, 27? Mm-hmm.
Vishyaha.
Jiva
Brahmaikyam.
Jiva Brahmaikyam.
Shuddha Chaitanyam.
Shuddha Chaitanyam.
Prameyam.
Prameyam.
Tatra Eva.
Tatra Eva.
Vedantanam.
Vedantanam.
Tatparyat.
Tatparyat.
Okay, now. Just to remind you, we have just gone through the Adhikari. What we're working on is the Anubandha Chatushtaya, the fourfold links, Adhikari, Vishya, Prayojanam, Sambandha. Those are the four, right? Anubandha Chatushtaya. We've done the Adhikari, the qualified student now. Now we're doing the Vishyaha. The Vishya is the subject matter. In order to pursue any study, you have to know who is the qualified student. Now we know that. And then what is the subject matter? What is it that you're wanting to study? So say you want to study the Upanishads, for instance. Why do you want to study the Upanishads? You have to know what is the subject matter of the Upanishads. Nobody's going to say, oh, I want to study the Upanishads. And then you say, well, what is the subject matter of the Upanishads? And you say, well, I don't know. Right? That you have to know what it is that you're going to study to have any pravritti. Mm-hmm. Pravritti means to be drawn toward it, to have an inclination to study it. You need a pravritti. To pravritti, you have to have some knowledge of what it is. So vishyaha means the subject matter. Mm-hmm. What is the subject matter? The subject matter is jiva brahma aikyam. Aikyam is the identity between the jiva and Brahman. Mm-hmm. The jiva brahma aikyam. The identity between the jiva and Brahman. Jiva and Brahman is a dvandva compound and has a genitive relationship with aikyam for Sanskrit people. Aikyam, the identity between the jiva and Brahman. Jiva brahma aikyam. And what is that? Shuddha chaitanyam. Pure consciousness. The point of identity between the jiva and Brahman is that both are pure consciousness.
Wow, they say it flat out, huh?
There it is, black and white.
Shuddha Chaitanyam, pure consciousness, which is Prameyam, which is to be known. The Prameya, the thing to be known, that which is to be known. So in the Upanishads, the Prameya, potential participle, the Prameya is that which is to be known. What is to be known? The Jiva Brahma Aikya, the identity between Jiva and Brahman, which is Shuddha Chaitanyam. Pure Chaitanya. So Jiva Brahmaikyam, Shuddha Chaitanyam, Prameyam. There.
Sorry, right. Shankara uses so he says the identity of Jiva Brahman is essential. I'm sorry.
You're reading, never mind about that yet. You're on number two there. Don't do that yet. For now, just take the meaning of the words, because we've got to get all the way through. Jiva Brahma Aikyam. Aikyam means identity between the Jiva and Brahman. Shuddha Chaitanyam. Pure consciousness. Prameyam, that which is to be known. Tatra, there, in reference to that, regarding that, Eva, indeed. Vedantanam, of the Vedantas, means of the Upanishads. Genitive plural of the Vedantas, tat paraya, fifth case. Now, this tat paraya, that's a really important word. Swamiji uses this word all the time, the tat paraya. So that's the tat paraya. The tat paraya is what is the essential nature of something, is the tat paraya. So what is the essential, quintessential meaning of the Upanishad? What is its tatparya? What is it that it is its essence? What is it trying to say?
Is that content? Is that a good word too?
Content, you have to understand it as that which is the essential content. The Upanishad has many things that it's talking about. But it's talking about all of the things it talks about in order to unfold the Mahavakya.
Is tatparya like a word that's a combination of other words?
Yeah, it would come from tatpara. It would come from tatpara. That para meaning that which the supremely that or something like that. And it would be a tadita, taught. Tat becomes taught. Para becomes parya. Okay? So if you say the essence, the essential meaning is the tatparya. So you could say because of being the tatparya, the tatparya for the Vedanta, of the Vedanta, Vedantanam, tatparyat, there. Because it is that which is the tatparya of all of the Vedas. What is the tatparya? Jiva Brahma Aikyam, which is Shuddha Chaitanyam. Which is the Pramaya. That is the thing to be known because of that being the tatparya of all of the Vedantas. Okay? That's what is to be known because that's the tatparya of all of it.
The word that comes to my mind here is distillation in a sense. Like if you distill the whole thing down, that's what you come to?
Yeah. Oh, there you use the word purport. Purport is good. As long as you understand, you can say it like that when you... Purport is good because purport is the essence of what is meant.
What word?
Purport. The purport. That's how they translate it in this.
Oh, man. This sounds so simple. I mean, that line...
Read this after me. Vishyaha. Jiva Brahmaikyam. Shuddha Chaitanyam. Pramayam. Tatra eva Vedantanam tatparyat. So, good. We'll stop there.
Yeah,
not,
we all want to go to India.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't want to miss out on this. We have to wait 2 months now.
You're going with me.
You'll be there.
Yeah.
You can stay here.
Thank you, Tim.
You're welcome.
Let me take a minute. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.